Hello and welcome in to the So Rare Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdinho on So Rare, joined once again by PSU Fans 2, Sean Newsham, today to talk about some gallery efficiency. Sean, we've talked about this before, but we did not talk about it in respect to the new gameplay and particularly multi-entry. And I'm trying to also pull in a little bit of what I talked about on Friday's show about this absurd idea that I have that I don't think I'm actually going to do. And I specifically said, I believe, on the show that I was not going to talk to you about it. And here I am, possibly talking to you about it. That's all. Thanks, everyone, for coming in. What's that?
I said, look at that.
Yeah. Carol, first, really? Yes, you were first. Mike Bastin, going to catch later, but we'll be outplaying seniors five-a-side with mates, stealing a podium nonetheless. And Toby joins them on the podium. Well done, Mike. And hello to future Mike. Sora Juju, that's right. You were close. Kev Hurd, what's up? Henry, Ian, appreciate you guys coming in. ZM Star, the most efficient play for your gallery is to keep cutting it until you delete your account.
Can't really argue at this
point. Cannot argue. Simo, how you doing? Roberto, appreciate you here. Surface, Johannatin, Skosmo, Sopsy, Rascal Misaki, Henry. There we go, right on time, right? I missed some. Stefan, David, and Boyd finally caught the live on time. I think we were on time as well. So Boyd, thanks for coming in. So Agent Cooper says, penguins, puffins, peacocks, pheasants, pelicans, pigeons, parrots. Oh, wait, wrong episode. I've been away for a week and catching up with all of the episodes I missed has messed me up. Up the Villa. Good win for Villa yesterday. Anyway, Sean, gallery efficiency. Let me catch you up on what I was discussing on Friday about this absurd idea that I had. So it's almost like for the sake of efficiency, I had this idea to start running the exact same lineup, either the same lineup three times in single scarcity or the same lineup in different scarcities.
Was Haber on the show with you, or did he watch your show? Was he like in the chat? Cause like, I literally got this message from him Friday.
Oh, he was not with me on the show, and I don't remember him in the chat.
Literally, I literally got this exact, like, I got a DM from him literally saying this exact thing.
So maybe he watched it. If he did, Haber, thanks for watching. I think that the idea ends up being more about, I want to call it, like, ease of play. I don't want to call it laziness. And it's obviously like extremely risky, meaning like if one goes down, basically the whole pile, you know, the whole house of cards goes down.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it's closer to the efficient side, but I feel like it's now moving into like the real life time efficiency and not so much the efficiency of the gallery. And so, and like Nanzo said, laziness is not a strategy. Which I agree, but there were a few reasons why, like, I think there were a few glaring negatives of the idea. Yeah, by three more quads. So I talked about this idea on the show on Friday, and then I have a Pablo Barrera rare, a super rare, rare, and limited, played them all, and he had an error led to go goal on Friday night and just screwed my three favorite lineups the entire weekend. And I'm like, okay. This feels like a sign that I should just shut up and not do this. But I'm curious, like, at what point does efficiency become laziness? Or you become too efficient where the reward is not worth the risk?
Well, there's some... first of all, I think people have a different opinion, and like Haber used this term, and I think a lot of people share this, but it's not correct. And he said something about how he was going to run the same lineup, but that's not like efficient, or that's not like optimal. But like in reality, the optimal strategy is to run the same lineup or like the best plays within reason. And I'll give the example from this weekend where everyone got absolutely blitzed by was like what to do. So you don't necessarily have to play all the same players, but typically the strategy is to play the best player. So for example, like for PSV, which, like, going into the week, if you didn't think PSV was going to obliterate the week, then I don't know what you were looking at, because that was going to happen. But, like, so there are different players on PSV. Joey Veerman's on PSV. Joey Veerman was probably the most likely person to hit 100 of anybody on the platform this week. Like, if you ask me who is the most likely person to hit 100 on the platform before the game week started, I would have said Joey Veerman.
Is Biscagli like 1A or 1B?
No, Veerman is more likely to hit it than Biscagli. Biscagli's 2. But so here's the point, right? Veerman. If I'm making a lineup with the PSV stack, I play Veerman. If I'm making another lineup, I play Veerman. If I'm playing another lineup, I play Veerman. But Goose Till is also on PSV. Goose Till fucking sucks. Goose Till, like, it just, like, dude has no AA. Doesn't matter what Goose Till does. Unless he gets, like, 4 decisives, Goose Till is not going to get 100. So if I run a PSV stack, I'm not going to run Goose Till. Or, like, if I am going to run Goose Till, maybe I will run 1 Goose Till, not 6 Goose Tills, for example, in the same thing. So if you want to run, like, all 3 lineups, let's just use rare. I want 6 Joey Veermans, 3 for Classic, 3 for in-season. And that's, like, optimal. Then Biscagli is very clearly better than everyone else on their team, right? Yeah. So you run 6 Biscaglis. Obviously, that wouldn't have worked this weekend because he was a letdown by sort of. But, and then what you do is, like, maybe I want to run one, and then Luke de Jong is by far their best forward. Like, it's not really close, right? Like, he's the best forward on their team. So effectively, like, you want to run all 3 of them. But then what you do for, like, that 4th spot, that extra spot, because it can be an extra, like, maybe you play 1 Sergiño Dest. Maybe you play 1 Malik Tillman. Maybe you play 1 Romario. And then you just try to, like, pair the other parts. And then a big thing Johanathan brings up, and I said this is the actual pro move within this thing. Benitez is not going to be the optimal goalie almost ever, because he's going to get you 60 to 65. That's which is fine. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm totally fine with my goalie putting up 60 to 65, but almost certainly there's going to be goalies out there that put up 75 to 85 plus points that are going to be better than Benitez. So a good way to, like, break off the monotony of your stack is, let's say I have 6 stacks. Maybe I run Benitez once with a double defender, and then maybe I run a different goalie. Maybe I run a Brad Stuver. Maybe I run a Matt Ryan. Maybe I run a whoever. It's effectively, like, you just split up your goalies, because that's the variance part. Where, like, if Benitez concedes, he's going to be terrible. There's almost no way he's not terrible if he concedes. If he doesn't concede, he is guaranteed, for the most part, not going to be better than someone else. But people confuse that as, like, not being optimal playing the same players, when in reality it is optimal. What you're doing is you're just increasing your variance. If Veerman has 100 and you have Veerman in 6 lineups, that's fantastic. If Veerman has an air-led goal, all your lineups are dead.
So it's funny to me, because a lot of people in the chat on Friday did exactly what you did and equated it to running, like, the same stack over and over. And I actually wasn't even thinking of it as a stack. Like, maybe I was saying I would do, like, a goalkeeper defender, but it would be like 5, let's call it 4, maybe it's 3 different teams represented. Like, it wasn't necessarily running the same, like, club team 5 times, 6 times.
Yeah. Same.
It was just like, yeah, if I had, like, someone different, and running that group. And I think it also got a little confusing. I discussed it with Gator Guy a little bit, because he watched the show and he was just like, the equivalent is basically a DFS, that, like, you run 1 lineup everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, that. And so if it hits, it hits. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But so it's kind of like that idea. And it's not necessarily me saying, like, these are the 5 players that I have 6 copies of. Like, obviously you need lots of them so that you can actually make the best lineup every week and then run it in different scarcities. I think the conversation is a little different in terms of running it in different scarcities than it is running it in the same scarcity. Like, 6 lineups in rare is different than running, you know, 1 in super rare, 1 in rare, and 1 in limited, because just the scores you need in limited is higher than in super rare. So you could have a theoretical optimal lineup in super rare that may not be the optimal one in limited, if that makes sense.
Nando hits it on the head too. Running the same lineups on the occasional game week where it's optimal is fine. Building your gallery around that strategy and always having the same lineups is not sound, which is true because every single week is a different competition where the best, a certain player is optimal and then the next week they're not. And so, continuing.
Yeah. So the idea is not running the same lineup every week, though. Like running multiple of the same five guys every week. It's like I have a huge gallery of cards, but every week all of my lineups within that game week have the same five players.
Yeah.
And then next week I have five different five players in all of the lineups.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm building my strategy around like five guys and running them every week, but it's essentially just saying, do I want to run the same lineups in both different scarcities or the same scarcity in the same competition, maybe in the same division? Like, do I just want to do that?
Yeah. So Star Silver, boring, though. So Star Silver is being disrespectful to Brad Stuver right now, Laird.
For real.
Brad Stuver's got a really nice AA. When he doesn't concede, he puts up some really big scores. Some disrespect to him.
Yeah. Agreed.
A Palmera has joined and wanted to say divisions are stupid. I thought this beforehand, at least for weekly promotion and relegation, and now absolute certain as would have won Prem D1 in season twice with my D2 team. I am still unsure how I feel about divisions.
I would think that a team that won D2 would then be in D1.
It would be, but then it probably got relegated again, and then he didn't. But yeah, I think I'm leaning more towards I do not. Oh, both times he had a D1 entry, just his worst lineup popped. For what it's worth, I tend to dislike the divisions. I think I'm getting to the point where I don't love divisions, but I'm going to give it some more time to see how it goes. I just don't think it makes the most sense. Like I see Andy Black out there just plowing through division threes and fours, you know,
do you think it's bad? Do you think the gameplay is bad, or do you think that the incentives for D1 are not high enough?
That is definitely true. Actually, I had a conversation with Surf over the weekend, and I think it's very accurate. Currently, the boxes are too close in value. Like the box between like D1, D2, D3 is too close in value, and therefore, like you're not really getting cards that frequently anymore anywhere. So I'm literally, guess how many cards I'm getting this week, Laird?
For you, I don't know, 10?
Two.
You suck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
GG's, RIP, PSU.
I got to be playing these D4s and D5s like Andy Black's playing, and then I'll be able to do it. Yeah. I showed too much ambition this week. I was playing in the high levels. But, like, I just... So here's the thing. If you put up a really good score or you like a really good score, like you put up a really solid score, you just aren't necessarily getting stuff in a lot of spots, especially the higher level, like the super rares and unique levels compared to like the limiteds. Like obviously if you put up a really good score in limiteds, like you're going to get something. But so the issue is that like the boxes, if the boxes are good, that's okay. Cause you're getting the boxes and therefore your box.
Hold on.
Cut off.
Sorry. There you go. You're back.
Are we still live?
I assume so.
All right, I'll keep talking. You let me know if we're not live. The boxes, if they're like that close together, doesn't make much sense. Like I will say, and we talk about...
What do you mean by that, though, that they're too close?
Like you have like a very similar likelihood of getting the same stuff regardless of what level box you're at.
Because you're getting a level up anyway?
Yeah, like I think so. I'm not going to count the Continental Knights because those boxes were a lot different power. But I'm 2 for 75 with boxes so far. And let me first state I love them. I'm really enjoying the boxes, even though I've gotten 73 level ups during those boxes. I'm enjoying them. Like I'm really enjoying them. I wish that there was a bit more with the boxes, but. So the issue is that like the current incentive to be in D1 is just not there. And we talked about this before it started. And I think I'm leaning more towards, like, it is better to be down in the division threes and fours than it is to be in the division ones and twos, which is not good. I'm not there yet. I need to see this play out longer, but it just seems to me like being in D1 is not where I want to be right now.
Totally agree.
And that's a really big problem.
That's the big problem, yeah. And so that's why I mentioned it on, was it Thursday with Andy? Like, if they had some sort of prize for, like, staying in Division One,
yeah,
first, you know, if you, like, stuff like that. But it does feel like the getting promoted to Division One feels like a punishment.
Yeah.
Especially because it's really only the people who finish first, second, or third really benefit from being in Division One, and everyone else is just like there to get killed.
Yeah.
And so it's just not, I agree with you. It's just not fun.
I'm trying to find like what I did this weekend in some of the spots, and then compare it to like other spots. And like, again, I get it. But the issue is, if the boxes, so Nanzo said, box or consolation prize is not a goal. I would like for the boxes to be a bit more of a goal and a reward. And Surf, I saw someone tweet about this. I forget who it was, but I saw you liked it, so you definitely saw it. But like, they posted a picture of a box that was being given out during, I don't know what it was for. And I think it was the Liverpool special maybe or something, but like, everybody was getting a prize. That's not realistic. Like, we cannot have everybody getting a prize, but if you take some of the percentages down from the bottom ends in the D3, D4 boxes, and you give higher percentages in the D1s, D2 boxes, that makes those boxes more valuable and makes them more intriguing. I also think so. From a super rare perspective, and I know obviously not everyone's playing the super rares, but from a super rare perspective and just in general, I would like to see some ETH be in the boxes. Like, not, you don't have, like, I'm not expecting to win like a 3 ETH jackpot or something, but Surf actually said, he's like, that would be super interesting if that happened. But like, if I have the potential to win, and I think long term they did talk about going to this, like after thresholds and stuff are gone, like 0.02 in a box or something. And it's like, oh, sick, I won $60 in a box or $70 in a box. That's cool. But also, like, I want to see a tier zero in a box. And I don't know why it's not there. And it should be, because I'm not even saying, like, give one away a quarter or one away every 6 months. Give it, like, a 0.0001% chance. But at least in that situation, every single game week, I'm like, man, I have a chance of getting an Mbappe super rare in this box. Instead of, oh, I can literally only get a T2, so it really just doesn't matter regardless.
You can win a star in a box.
Not in a super rare.
Oh, in super rare, I'm sorry.
Yeah, super rare level. Level, you can. And Skosmo said, and then that's why I said, like, so a lot of this is like taking with a grain of salt. Skosmo said that stuff like that's going to come after the transition phase. So like, that is part of it. Is like, we're going through stuff with what we're seeing now, but what we're seeing now isn't necessarily the like end date goal.
Yeah.
And we'll see more of it like after the transition page, but it makes it difficult because like, you don't really know what exactly is going on. But so like, just an example from this weekend in Champion Classic Division One, I only was in Classic Champion Division One this week in Super Rare. I was it. I have 496 points. What place do you think I'm in?
I mean, with 50% captain too, I mean.
Yeah, but all right. So this is like, so I put up.
I think this, the whole talk of like how many points is just, it's tired.
It is, but it's not. Like in the past, like I'm getting something with this, right? Or like in the past, I like, this is a good result where I'm like, this is a pretty good. I can tell what is good scores and like what a good lineup is, and I can tell what a bad lineup is. And I, this one has like one person that sucked, but like just in general, like it's 18th, which in the old system it would have been like it's something. But so like, so that's D1, right?
Listen, the old system, you're still behind those 17 people.
No, yes and no, but like D2, that's third. All right, D3.
There's two more people ahead of you.
D3, it's first. So am I better playing D1 and getting literally not even getting close to anything. I'm not even like in the ballpark of getting something. I'm like, I'm so far behind getting something that it's not even funny. Or do I play D3, take a T2 super rare, get three boxes and move on? And so that,
I mean, are you winning something previously in Champion Europe super rare if you finish 20th?
Yeah, you were.
And what are you winning? Like a tier 5 super rare?
Yeah, something.
And no, instead no, you're winning three boxes with a 2% chance of a tier 5, right?
Like, yeah. It doesn't seem all that different to me.
That's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah, but if I put up a lot more points, I'm still getting nothing because it's just like, I don't think you want to be in the Division 1s, which is an issue.
That I think you're right. That like yeah. you're.
That's more of what I'm trying to say. For
it, but the incentive to be there is just not high enough.
No, girl. Like, so I had three lineups in Division 1, and I'm just like, I literally can't play a Division 2 or a Division 3 lineup. So it's just like, this kind of sucks. Like, I don't want to be in Division 1. Like, being in Division 1 is just not good, not great.
You can't play Division 2?
I literally had all three lineups in Division 1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had no option to play.
Yeah. Sorry for your success. Division.
What? Yeah.
I said, sorry for your success.
Yeah, like, no, but it's true. Like, if I had my left for shit, all of a sudden I'm down in the lower division and maybe I can make something happen. But, like, it feels like you're playing so many different games. But it works the other way, too. Like, this could have been, like, D1 was horrendous and then D2 and D3 are stacked, right? And in that situation, it's just, like, that's weird, too. I don't know. I just don't really love the divisions. I think... Pico said one of the saddest hidden brags. It's not a brag. It's not a brag at all. It's shitty because I literally like my champ cards are just there.
Yeah. Rico Mana says at the rare and limited level, Division 1 scores are lower than Division 2.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be permanently the case. I think Division 2 and rare and limiteds is always going to be better than Division 1 on like the long term because everybody has enough rares that it just sort of like moves you up and down. But like the results are going to be similar week in, week out because there's double the people or whatever in Division 2 and long run, like those are going to score higher than the guys in Division 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this also goes into it. And then Rub brings up the right other point to it. And this is why I don't like it either. Until you kill a game week and you put up a monster score and it's in Division 3 and you get like $200 instead of like $6,000. And it just sort of is like
that's the point. Like the carrot in Division 1 is the first place prize.
Yeah,
the problem is that if you don't get it, it feels like you're totally screwed.
If you do not get first place, it doesn't matter. Like, if you do not get first, you're probably better off in Division 3 or whatever.
Right. Right. I feel like the idea is we're being sold this idea that you want to be in Division 1 because just in case your lineup goes off and you finish first, you want to be first in Division 1. And only one person can finish first in each game.
I have never won Champ Super Rare in my life, I don't think.
Right. And now the expectation is you're going to try to do it in Division 1 against, I mean, everyone you were competing with anyway.
Yeah.
But I've
never won it when it was easier, when like people used their good Super Rares in D1 or in Division 3s.
Yeah, Rare Pro,
So like it's more difficult now and I've never won it. So like I just don't think the divisions is working great. And then it goes back to the thing of like people are like, well,
but this is just for super rare. Like it feels like it is working for rare and limited.
No, it's worse for rare and limited because like Division 2 is just where the highest scores are typically.
But we knew that was gonna happen. It's a volume thing.
I know, but that's not good. Like where the best scores are winning those divisions and they just like can't win anything that is high end because they're not in Division 1.
No, and I mean, I hate to say that. I bet the difference isn't really that much between Division 1 and Division 2. Division 1 and 2.
They're probably similar. But then also like you have Wales, like literally Andy Black's just pounding D3, D4. I've pounded D3 before. Like it's so then you have the whales just go down, pound D3 out, go back up and then work their way back down, pound that out again. And it's just like,
I think we're complaining about both solutions. Like, I don't think it's right to say that it's harder to win D2 in rare when that's what we want. Like we want people you want to play in Division 1 because it's easier to win.
Yeah. But the issue is I'd rather be in D3. That's more the issue. You'd probably rather be in D3. You don't want to be in D2. D2 is not where you want to be.
For rare.
Yeah. Like, you're even super rare. Like, you probably don't.
I think the super rare, I think the super rare issues are different.
Maybe.
Like, I think, I feel like it's, like the solution for rare and limited doesn't work for super rare. Like, it's a very different game.
Pico and said, don't you think we still have too small of a sample to, on scores needed? I think the 2 weekends. Yeah, that's why, like, let me throw this out there. Everything's with a grain of salt right now. I'm giving it time. I'm going to give it a while. I'm just giving my feedback from what I'm seeing right now. Regardless of all the scoring and all of the results and stuff, I'll give another example. We talked about how it was impossible for me in Champ 1 or whatever. I literally didn't have a Division 1 lineup in Challenger this weekend with all my good cards in Super Rare. Like, I literally didn't have one in the Classic level. All my teams got relegated to D2. So it's just, and then I'm just like, well, then what's the point of even having these cards this week? Because it's just so shit. I just think that it would...
Because you got to get back.
I just would like it better with the old format where everybody's playing the same lineups and the best line, if you put up the best lineup on a week, you win. That to me is just preferred right now. Because I don't think it's having the effect they wanted of, like, where Joe Schmo could go down and pound out D3, D4. Like, first of all, at the rare and limited level, that just doesn't really exist. Second of all, Andy Black's down there. Like, that's not their target audience. They want to just be pounding out D3.
Yeah, I still think that I think Andy would have preferred to have that score that he had in Division 1.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he would have not sniffed anything.
Oh, maybe.
But like that again, like, I'm not trying to talk about the points stuff. I don't know. Let me go check it out. So he won Challenger in season D4. Yeah, like, I can't imagine he gets more from that than any other division. Challenger. And Tender super rare Division 3. Like, he doesn't get a card in either of the other divisions, I don't think.
So hold on. What is it? Contender D3.
Season.
He rare. Finished third. Third in Contender D3.
Yeah, so Contender D3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lower score, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's not even that. Like, it's just like, so yeah, so if he was in D2, he wins nothing. If he's in D1, he wins nothing.
Like, the...
But it's not even
the argument is more about somebody of Andy's gallery being able to play in Division 3 than it is the actual score and prize.
Correct. That's what it's more about. Because it's like, and it's what we've talked about before, right? Like, I've gotten relegated a lot. Like, I don't have all my lineups up in high divisions. My gallery is a lot bigger than Black's. And like, it just is what it is. Like, you just get relegated some. Like, you just can't help it. You eat DNPs. Like, you just are going to eat DNPs. Yeah. It just happened. Like, there's nothing you can do about it sometimes. Like, my Challenger super rares are super good. And they just got relegated a bunch. Like, that is what it is. Like I have very like contender. My contender is a dumpster fire. Contender rare. I literally don't have a D1 line because they all got relegated or are like lower end. But like to me, like it just like the idea of the game is if you put up a massive score, you're gonna win.
Rico Mon said Black's getting more money from the 430 points in Division 4 than the 486 points in Division 1.
Yeah.
What was that again? Challenger in season?
That's Contender Division 3.
No, he's that was a classic one, Contender. Challengers was new season.
Okay, then yeah, Challenger Division 4 in season versus Challenger Division 1 in season.
Oh, is it rare?
Yeah, it's rare. It's
super rare.
Also, I'm not trying.
Not much ambition there, Andy Black.
Because he likes to talk about ambition and playing all of his like lineups at D1, and he's just down here pounding D3 and D4, so I just got to give him some shit for it.
So, hold on. Does he have Challenger in season? So he has one lineup in Division 1, one lineup in Division 2, and then one in Division 4.
Yeah, but so like his Division 4 lineup is putting up 431 and it's winning 2.5x what his lineup to put up 486 is in Division 1, which is like a good incentive of like, why would I play D1?
Right. This is the
yeah.
Division 4 for $179, and this is the Division One, which is $75.
Correct. Which, to be and fair, no he deserved because of his captain choice. So,
I wonder if he considered captaining Veerman or Messi since they were the higher scorers.
I clearly not. Clearly, he
yeah, I guess not
for the guy that didn't score the most points. I gave him a tip though. I let him know that in the future, if you have the guy that's like the best play of the entire weekend, period, on the platform, you should probably captain him if he's in a lineup. I let him know so like for the future he can like implement that into his strategic decisions.
Are you sure that's not like lazy Sawyer play?
No, I think captaining the guy that's the most likely to score the most points is typically going to be a good strategy. But yeah, so like I'm not.
We give out so much on this show.
I'm not even trying to talk about like the scores versus one another, et cetera, because it's going to work different ways. Like sometimes you're going to need a higher score in D2 versus D1 or D3 versus D2, whatever. I'm just saying like if I'm I just want to be able to just run my lineups in the certain situations. And if I put up the best score of everybody on the platform in that week, I want to win the best prize. I don't want to win $5. Similarly, if I put up a steaming pile of shit, I don't really want to win a good prize while other people are just not winning shit because they're playing at higher levels. Mm-hmm. Nanzo said he is warming up to the division. It makes it a more of a game. Maltra entry with division could get a bit boring after a while. I can see that. I think a lot of the issue for me right now is you sort of alluded to it. Division One has to be like you want to be in Division One. And by being in Division One, that's like the best thing that can happen to you, right? Whether it means the boxes are super powered compared to other boxes, whether it means they're giving out a lot more there, whatever it means, it just like I feel like you really need to want to be in Division One. And like I shouldn't, I think this is bad, and I do this. So I know this is bad because I literally think about this every single game week. I shouldn't look at my lineup and be like, yeah, I should run this in D3 instead of D1 because
doesn't even matter what the reason is.
Yeah. Like
the fact that you're thinking it is already bad.
And I think that every single game week.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good thing.
I think Rikamon with a great example. The main issue is in Division 4, first place is higher than fourth in Division 1. And obviously it is significantly harder to get to Division 1 and then finish fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if anything, it's giving them an indication that the distribution is insufficient right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, KB brings up a really good point here too. He's like, I get the same money placing 51st in Division One and placing 180th in Division Five. That doesn't make sense either.
So the reason that really doesn't make sense is because those should be the same size. Like in limited, the top and bottom divisions are supposed to be the same size. So I'm guessing that's like 51st is the first payout and probably 180th is the last, but like, probably. But I agree.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't be the same.
And just be clear, like I'm not going to actually check. I'm not going to fact check KB here. So we're just going to assume he's correct. But I mean, I've seen stuff like that. So like, I think there's some good, but like, and that's the thing too, right?
No, I'm
like,
going to fact check.
You're going to fact check it?
Like this is Premier League in season, Division One.
Okay.
And basically 41st.
41st is $5.
Is $5.
Okay.
And in Division Five, 45th. So it's actually not that bad. Premier League's probably much smaller though.
Yeah, but like that's like super relevant and easy. Yeah. I think KB's talking Challenger. So check
Challenger. All right. I was in there.
You were in there. No, you're out there piddling around in D3s, it looks like.
I guess because I got relegated from D2. Only reason. Working my way back, Sean. Anyway.
No, there you go.
Division One. So like 51st is $6.
Yes.
And 140th is also $5. Yeah. Or it's $5. So it's a dollar less.
Yeah. But like, less, yes, like that
way does not, less.
That doesn't make sense. So like, for example, a great example of like how this should be, right? Go back. Can you go back to that real quick?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
So like a great example of like how this should be, 51st through 140, this should be $3. 11 through 50, it should be $5. 4 through 10 should be $10. Like, this should be lower. Then you should go back to D1, and all of a sudden, this, the bottom level, should be $10. The next level up should be 15. Next level up, 25, then 30, then 50. So, like, it's just about a balancing act that, it, like, it should be a little bit more different. And it just doesn't make sense to me sort of how things are divvied. And also, like, I think they give out a lot to, like, limiteds and rares compared to super rares. But that's a whole different conversation that people will be like, that doesn't make sense.
It is just wild to think that 50 first gets $6 in Division 1.
Yeah.
And 400th in Division 2 gets $1 less.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, let's go look at it too. So, because I mean, it just, it doesn't make sense. So this is Challenger, in-season, limited, Division 1. So what was it, 41st?
Yeah, 51st. So
480. 480.
No, 51.
51, okay. So 51... That is 475 points. And then Division 2, it was 400th? I'm going to scroll.
400th.
400th. So, like, I'm working on scrolling. This is.
I was going to say, you can't even scroll that far.
No, it's going to take a little while. Like, this is how stupid it is. It's taking a little bit. So, like, let me get there, and I'll eventually get there. Just so we're clear, I'm at the 200s, and the number is 380.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not going to be very high. And this is what, like, doesn't make much sense to me. 400th is 355. So 120 less points for the, like, why would you want to be in D1? Like, go, what, go, can you go back to those? Like, show the top ends of them in comparison. So in D1, you get 750. In D2, you get 250. But it's not realistic to win it.
That's, so I think that's the problem, is that the top heavy is just.
All right. So third in D5 or D2 is 140. What is third in D1?
250. Still higher.
Lot close. Yeah, but it's a lot closer. And then fourth, like, what's fourth? Go to fourth is 100 and what?
60.
60. Like, but like the gap. So like you're just winning.
Like 60 is first place in D5.
Oh, you're in D5 now?
I'm just saying, first place in D5 is 60. Like, that's pretty low.
Yeah,
D4, I'm not 100, totally. D3, 140, 250, like, 3 and 4 are pretty close. Like, yeah, Division 1, first place, like, that's, this is the whole point. We want to be in Division 1 so that when we win big. The problem is that most of us, literally 99.99% of us, won't get there.
The issue is the lower, like, I would much rather, like, that should be, like, 600 to first. Then the other, like, it just should be different at the bottom ends. And, like, you, like, they're, like, looking at that, right? You should be playing D2 over D1. If you have one life and you have both
unless options. You're winning, unless you think you're finishing first.
Unless you think you're first. What you're, like, again, the odds of you finishing first are, you, if we ran this week, every single time, the odds of you finishing first with a good lineup is you probably will hit it one time in your life.
Yeah.
That's how many people are playing.
I'm not even sure. For limited, I'm not even sure you get there.
Well, it depends. Well, I mean, it's 50. Let's say there's 52 weeks a year where you get a run. Well, you just pretend you get a run at 52 weeks a year, weekends a year. And there's, how many entries were there? 5,000? Couple thousand?
I don't even know if we can tell.
Yeah, well, you probably can't. If you're not in it, you can't. What is it? Let me see if I even have
20, it's more. Just under 3,000.
So you get 3,000 teams. So if I say there's 52 weeks, we're just going to call it 50 for the case and point of it. I would expect to win Division 1 one time every 60 years.
Yeah. I assume that's the total. Like, sorry, I was looking here. I assume that's 2,900 total, not just in Division whatever I'm in, 3.
Yeah. Apparently, according to Surface, Paul has acknowledged this topic in the main feedback channel in the Sora Discord, and they're looking at it.
Good. All right. Problem solved. KB said, I don't think people quite comprehend how unlikely it is to ever win a division.
Winning a limited division is, like, very unlikely. Winning a rare, maybe.
Yeah, and then winning first place in limited is the hardest thing to do on Sora.
I don't have a podium in limited. Granted, my limited gallery is not the best, but it's got decent cards that people would be like, those are good cards.
Yeah. I won a podium and sold out. I won the game, so I just got rid of all my limiteds.
Yeah.
Didn't want to keep winning.
So it's just like
DJ says that's only my 2,900 just in my division.
Yeah, it's just division one. So like
no, this is division three.
Oh, division three. Yeah. So like it's just like you're just better if you are building a lineup today in Challenger.
It's really in anything.
Anything. You should be entering in Division 2 instead of Division 1. In the end season. In the end season. Classic maybe is a little different. And it's just sort of... It just... Again, though, like we said, and I will go back to what Surface said. They don't know this shit. They got tested out a little bit. So if they're taking that info in and they're testing out and moving... I do want to say, I want to give Sober credit for stuff. We definitely drag them when they deserve dragged, and that's fair. In terms of the... last month or so and the new movements and stuff they did, I'm coming away pretty positive with stuff. I know Coops, I've talked to him and he is not a fan of stuff because they kind of neutered like his strategy when they did like 100%. But I think there's stuff you can win if you're doing things correctly out here. I think it's definitely feasible. And I think that... Yeah, so Philly Dilly brings up another point that we'll talk about in a second. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get back to that. We'll get to that, though. But so I want to say I do like the direction they're going. The direction things are going makes sense to me, I think. I obviously am looking for additional stuff. Like, I would like to see some box percentages move from, like, Division 3 and 4 boxes up to Division 1 boxes. Like, Surf said, like, let's say there's what's the percent chance of getting a card right now in like rare Division One
from a box?
Yeah, I'm gonna check out Challenger Division One and see what.
Oh, I was gonna say I have that. I can even. I'm not even in.
Challenger Division One box is a 5% chance at a card. Okay, so I have a 5.
I think they're the same.
What?
I think the Division Ones are the same percentages.
Yeah, no, I want to look at like Division Four. So Division Four box. Oh yeah, so Division Four box is getting a 5% chance of getting a card. So Division One box is getting a 5% chance of getting a card. Division Four box is getting a 5% chance of getting a card. Yes, the cards are slightly better in Division One. So like Division Four box is Tier Two, Tier Three, Tier Four, Tier Five. Four of the 5% are tier fours and tier fives. Okay. Division one box is.
You can win up scarcities. That's the difference.
You can, yeah, but like a tier three super rare like that. So, like, you basically, like in this, you get like a 3 or 4% chance of getting a good card, but you get a 5% chance at a card. And then the lower level boxes, you get a 5% chance at a card, 1% chance at a decent card.
Yeah. The difference is just the quality of card. Like, you can't win. Right. A star or tier one in Division Five.
Yeah.
Or Division Four.
Boxes. So I like the quality of stuff and I like the idea of where they're going with stuff. So I'm optimistic at the moment of where things are going. To me, a lot of things make quite a bit of sense. I think that we have a lot still to see. Like there's a lot of rewards being given out still in All-Star that are gonna get redistributed. There's a lot of money that's being given out in thresholds that needs to be redistributed.
Well, in fairness, they're going to have two more cash competitions. So I don't know if we'll see a big difference.
Yes, but like, I mean, I'm just saying like there's potential to sort of see some more stuff. So let's go back to Philly Daily and let's discuss this. If Limited Mbappe is going for 270, isn't 750 top prize way too much? I think so. I think limiteds currently are getting way too much, even at the top end, even if you hit the jackpot. The jackpot is way too much compared to like what it should realistically be, I believe. But like, because like when you go to the super rare and unique level, like you're not getting near that sort of a rate when you win a card. And that's where the problem is right now.
So this is a conversation like we have had for years in DFS. So like it's too top heavy.
Yeah.
The problem is that we also know that there are a lot of people who love the idea of playing for a bigger top prize.
Yeah.
I think the problem, and again, I feel like super rare is just broken. That like the jackpot in super rare is not high enough. And also the what's under the supposed jackpot is not high enough.
Correct.
But in rare and limited, I think more people will play if the top number is big. Like, it's as simple as that.
And that's fine, but you can't, because the issue is, and we've talked about this before, where people worry about the lower levels and people playing the lower levels. And I am totally on board with supporting the lower levels. But the issue is that when you do not support the higher levels and you don't really incentivize the higher level people to want to play, the people that have the money to spend on stuff then don't come onto the platform. And then all of a sudden, that's why you have these dips in prices, because those people aren't there to buy cards anymore. Like,
I agree with this point, though, from KB. It said the super and unique is laughable, but that doesn't get fixed by taking $250 out of limited.
It doesn't, but if you take $2,000 out of limited, it starts helping.
And but then you're just destroying a majority of your users.
I'm a big believer in what Nashi has said before.
Yeah.
That, like, all the scarcity should be the same level, because, like, that's how it realistically should be. And Daniel Cooper said that the SoRare could give more money. And I don't like going down the route of, like, they can give more money, they can give more cards and stuff, because, like, sometimes that's just not realistic or possible. But, like, I think a person in limited would be ecstatic to win $600 instead of $750.
I'm just saying, like, the amount that you're taking out really doesn't move the needle in super rare and unique.
It does more than you think it does. It adds like 20% to that level, and that is a significant increase.
I don't enter any.
You're not really playing those competitions, but I'm saying, yeah. Like the fact that SoRare where it is currently is like alienating people that want to play higher stakes out of like playing any of the lower stakes is not good. Bellama doesn't play lower stakes. AJ doesn't play like the lower levels. Like, a lot of these people just do not. I wouldn't play limited if I had the ability to just get rid of my limiteds, like, without really doing tons.
You do. I think, like, I'm here with Nanzo, that I think the limited and rare is fine. The super and unique are, like, what is first place in Division One get for in-season super rare stuff? Like, I only have classics.
So do you want me to look at Challenger, since we're using Challenger? Sure,
yeah.
Division One Challenger winner is getting $1,800 in super rare.
So, like, does that, if you change that and now they're getting $2,400, is it, are you plowing more cards in for that?
Yeah, that's a pretty big increase. Or, like, not even like it pays top 10 all of a sudden you take $2,000 and you give $2,500 to first, $1,250 to second, $800 to third.
You can't take, there's not that much to take from limited.
Okay, but I'm not even saying taking from limiteds. But, like, here's the thing. All right, so if you're not gonna take from limiteds, but super and unique's broken, what are you doing? Because if super and unique is broken, we have what we have now, where the prices are horrendous. Yeah, and Scott, yeah, I would also take a little from rare as well, yes.
Yeah, I kind of assume that too. But
yeah, and I understand why they're not doing it, but if the higher levels are not incentivizing, people are not interested in the higher levels, that's not good.
Yeah, no, I unfortunately think, and as awful as it sounds, like, I think the solution is not taking away from limited and rare. It's literally just putting more into the others.
And that's fine if that's the solution. So Andrew said, feel like this pod doesn't apply to my baby gallery of 29 limiteds, but we'll listen for the insight. So here's the thing, like, I'm never going to talk strictly on limiteds and rares, because that's not my focus with stuff. Also, like, I think there's a lot of content out there that focuses on limiteds and rares, and there's less content that focuses on higher level stuff. And a lot of the time, the strategy we'll talk about is going to be encompassing like a lot of different things. Sometimes the discussions do go to this, and I'm going to give the opinion from the higher scarcities, because I don't think there's really any content out there that does that at all. And that's obviously where I spend most of my time and my interest.
But I would even argue that what we've talked about earlier. So, like, Andrew, if you have 29 limiteds, what we were saying before is that it's probably a hindrance for you, like a punishment, to move up to D1.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, we did discuss.
Like, yeah, no, like, you are exactly, and granted, I don't know what the 29 cards look like. Maybe it's, you know, a Bayern stack and Mbappe's and all those. But that's why we had to talk about the distribution, is that you are probably better off with a smaller gallery playing in the lower divisions right now.
Yeah. And that's what, like, the discussion. So, like, I just wanted to point on that, because we've definitely had people say in the past that, like, what we talk about doesn't apply to limiteds, but, like, a lot of the time stuff we do does apply to a lot of different stuff. Because yeah, like that, you, especially like in the limited levels, like if you're playing limiteds and you're playing D1 and you have the ability to play D2, D3, you shouldn't be. And so I think that's the big point of the big takeaway for people that are watching, is like, you should be playing the most optimal division for yourself at a given time. And that division right now is probably not Division 1 at the limited level.
Yeah, I think the draw of Division 1 and this jackpot that we keep saying is either too big or too small is just for a vast majority of the users on the platform, it's a negative to be in Division 1 in terms of actually winning a prize.
Yeah. So Danzo brings up another point that I want to touch on too. So I appreciate that. It's not a zero sum game. Can increase payouts without touching limited. The specials, EPL, MLS, K League, show that if Sower increased rewards, people pay more for supers and unique cards. I've always said this. The more money, like, it's harder to dictate at the lower levels, right? It's harder to dictate at the rare and unique levels, like, because you have to move so much of a quantity. If you give more money to the unique level, the prices of the uniques are going to go up, and you're going to recoup that money that you're giving. Same thing at the super level. So, like, I've always said, like, I don't understand why we don't focus more on that, because, like, if you start giving out double the money in uniques, these uniques are going to go up by a significant amount. You're going to recoup a massive amount of the money that you're sending out. Like, you're going to recoup that difference. So it's a lot more different So KB said 8K for top prize and champion uniques. Do you buy uniques? No, in champ, but a lot of that's also because I am like the epitome. Top prize doesn't do it for me. I don't care about the top prize because I know if it's going to be realistic to win. I do care about it, but I also care about how shallow it is. If I look at Champ Europe and they are paying $50,000 the first, $2,000 the second, $1,000 the third, and that's it, I'm not interested in that. If they pay down, like, so for example, like right now an in-season challenger, they're paying down to 7 places, I think, in D1. So, like, let me check. I have a Challenger D1 team. So Challenger D1 right now is paying to 8th. It's 2,800, 1,200, 700, 250, 180. 5th through 8th is 180. If this turns into, like, let's say you give another $1,500 a game week, and it's all of a sudden 3,000, 1,500, 1,000, 500, 200, 200, 200, 200, 150, 150, 150, and you're paying through like 11th. Okay, I'm a lot more interested because, like, maybe I can't hit the first place that frequently, but I can recoup like 150 here, 200 here, stuff like that. The bigger that you make that, like, I was talking to Bellama. The K League special, I think, is going to be really favorable. Like, so favorable that I think that, like, for example, I should buy enough in-season K League cards to play Super K League. I hate the K League, so I don't know if I'm going to do it, but, like, I should. I don't hate the K League. I like it.
How dare you?
I like the K League, but, like, the K League has a lot more of a lack of information than, like, Japan, for example, and all these other leagues. So I don't love to go in there. But so, like, because they're giving decent amounts, though, I'm heavily considering reinvesting funds into the K League. I have never intentionally bought, like, K League cards. Like, I've maybe bought, like, a couple K League cards intentionally in my entire Sober journey. If you are going to give out decent chunks for, like, K League super rares and stuff, like, and uniques, like, that incentivizes me to buy them. But at the higher levels, like, if you're paying too shallow, then it's a lot less interesting. Similarly, though, like if you don't have a decent high end, that's not interesting either. So you got to have a good mix with stuff.
I think one of the problems with the cash distribution is that so much of the game for a lot of users was revolved around the threshold and basically like grinding a little bit of cash every week. Mm-hmm. And that's how it feel these prize pools are now, that it's like, no, don't worry that you only won $60 in super rare, whatever division this week, because you'll just do it again next week, completely ignoring how hard it is to win that now.
Yeah.
And so we went from like winning $200 fairly easily, if it not every game week, every third game week. And now they're like, all right, take $60 now, except you're going to do it once a month, maybe. And it's like, that's a humongous difference for all of us.
Yeah. And they need to do these specials at the all season. They need to do them. Like it needs to happen in like once a month throughout the season and budget, which maybe they will. Like maybe that's part of the budgeting with these leagues, is like once a month, we're going to have a special that's just that league. And if you don't have the cards in that league, you cannot participate. Because someone mentioned, Scott said the Kaylee special, only two managers are eligible at the unique level right now. When the MLS one started, there was five, I think. And three of the five were Pranksy. But like I tried to get in because I looked at that and I was like, all right, you're paying top three. There's literally only five people that can play. And four of the lineups are going to be dog shit. But I couldn't get into it in time. I think I had the ability to play it. I didn't have the ability to play it at all, I don't think. But you know why I didn't have the ability to play it, Laird? Because during that time frame, the auctions all started popping off and going for way more than I was willing to pay at that time for them. And Sower basically was recouping double the price on like what these uniques would have been normally, because they needed them to get into that competition.
How many K-League uniques do you think they've minted for this season?
Yeah, not much. I mean, I look at the uniques all the time. Like it's definitely like minimal, but there's also not many.
What do you consider minimal?
10, 20.
It's 29.
Yeah. 29 and only two people can enter.
It seems wrong because.
Well, you need
to. Nanzo's just cleaning them up, which it does look like he is.
Yeah. You know why Nanzo's cleaning them up?
Make sure nobody else can play.
No one else can play. So Nanzo's just going to sit there and he's going to take his 10K a game week in the K League, and he's not probably spending that much on them.
I don't follow the K League much, but I've never heard of some of these guys.
No, I mean, I don't follow the K League either, but like Nanzo saw it. Nanzo's smart. He's intelligent. I saw it. I just don't have the funds at the unique level to be doing this. Nanzo knows.
Don't you have a key unique?
I do have a key unique, but it's not in season. It's a great card. But so like Nanzo knows, he's just like, they're giving away 12K a week or they're giving away like 15K over 3 weeks in unique, and Nanzo's just going to win it. And he probably spent very little. And now he can use those cards in contender the rest of the season in the in season. And he'll do well. So like those prices of those cards would have probably went for a lot more if people knew the K-League special was actually going to come. People didn't know the K-League special was going to come when they like started auctioning them. And to be like,
sorry. In fairness, we knew something was coming. They told us months ago that there would be one.
But it's the K-League. I don't know if I can fully buy that on the K-League. I'm not saying it was definitive they were not going to do anything or do something. I'm saying it's the K-League. That's not really the league that I'm like going to trust is going to get support, right?
I don't think there's any reason to discredit the K-League itself more than anything else. It's the data provider that is the problem with the K-League.
No, but I'm saying like if there's one league that I'm just like, are they really going to give a big special to in like, are they going to give like $5,000 to the K-League maybe? Are they going to give 100? I didn't know if they'd give 100. But like, so the K-League special isn't that, it's two-thirds of what the MLS special is, but there's only 12 teams. So like the competition's a much smaller group of stuff. Like that's like, I bought MLS Super for the MLS Super. I think I got like 0.2, 0.3 ETH out of it. So like it was definitely solid. Now I'll use those in season and the rest of the year.
I would assume that the J League one is 100,000 also. And they're almost double the teams.
Yeah. So like, but
are there 20?
Maybe J League's like 125.
Is it 20 teams in the J League?
J League's 20, Korea's 12.
12, right? Yeah.
But so anyways, like, I don't know. I just think there's definitely lots of pauses with what I'm seeing. So I'm cautiously optimistic of where we're going. I think there's some decent potential with where we're going, which I like to see. I think there's I'm just concerned that the things that need tweaked aren't going to get tweaked. And if that's going to happen, then so be it.
Nanza said the manager's rotation, the Army, and the U-21 rule are also the issue.
Lots of rules with the Kaylee, which is why I don't do it. Charlie said far too many times whales just buy up all the league-specific market at unique level and hoover up cash rewards ROI like Pranksy said a few weeks ago. That's not a problem. That's the issue is that, like, other people aren't going with them. Like, the reason other people maybe aren't going with them is because maybe the prize pools aren't strong enough. But also, it's not a problem. If Pranksy wants to spend $50,000 to win $15,000, he deserves to get that. Like, there's no stopping us from doing that. If I wanted to hoover up the K-League auctions, I could do what Nanza just did. That, so, like, I hate when people, like, think that's a problem, because it's not. Like, that's a good thing that someone is willing to spend
right
to do that. That's a good thing.
Like, there shouldn't be any negativity towards somebody else, like, wanting to buy something.
Correct. You know what, like, I
why
want?
Why do we care?
I want more people to want to buy something.
Yes. Right. Yes. Excuse me. That's the key. We just need multiple people to want to buy all of these.
Which is, again, like, that's why the prize pools are, like, difficult right now. Cause, like, why the hell are you going to play champion unique in season or something, or, like, Premier League in season, which is, like, Pranks is just going to pound it out. And it's so shallow that you're, like, just never going to win shit. Like, the other stuff, like, all right, if I can get, like, set, because I can get fourth and fifth sometimes and stuff. I'm not going to win very often, but if I can get fourth and fifth sometimes, maybe that one time a season I do win. And that's, like, awesome. But I'm not sitting there just looking at it like, oh, I'm going to literally win zero cards for the entire season. Like, where's Skozma? Skozma has the Botchin Boys. The Botchin Boys literally got him zero cards 150 game weeks. One game week, it won, though. And that one game week was good, but that was still a terrible decision by Skozma. But anyways, that's a whole different story. Larry, are you going to be piling into the Scottish Premier League special next season?
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yep. So,
I mean, they have the whole league. Theoretically, they should do one.
You do. They probably will.
I guess they don't have Rangers, so they don't. I mean,
yeah,
they have a league license.
Skozma said they won himself in Super. They sure did, Skozmo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what is nice, and I talked about this, was that on Friday? Whatever it was, that this is clearly like the transition period is to test things out. Yeah. It does seem like that they are taking constructive feedback and understanding how people are looking at things. And so there could be changes in August for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, so Nanzo, and I do want to touch on this too, because I do think there's a lot of merit to this. The main reason I bought K-League is they are far too cheap for in-season cards. I need someone to play with my Wendell and DeCosta uniques. I agree, and I think there's a lot of spots right now. And I was talking to Gator Guy about this a bit, but, like, there's two things with current prices that don't make much sense to me, I think, right now. The first thing is, prices are too low in certain spots for what you can win today. So, like, for example, if the next season starts and Rodri's rare is 0.3 ETH, that makes no sense, because you should be able to recoup that over a season based on the prizes that they're giving right now. Now, if Rodri's rare starts next season at 1 ETH, that will be interesting, because that will be the first time we get a chance to see it. But, like, so what we saw with the start of the MLS season was MLS cards went kind of bonkers at the start, but then fell off a bit, right? The issue for me is, like, I think the MLS cards are too cheap for, like, what you can realistically get out of them. I think that you can make, like, a best five lineup for, like, half an ETH. Like, you're gonna pay that off over the course of the season. So that's one. And then two, based on those being too cheap, I don't think the difference between classic and in season is as drastic as, like, what it was originally thought could be. I don't think the gap should be like 50%. I think the gap should be like 20-30%, probably, not like 100 or 200% or something. But like, I think based on current price points and prize money that So Rare is giving away, the current prices in pretty much every level are too cheap. Because I think you're going to be able to recoup it pretty, like, you can make a limited lineup and run it in D4, D5 for like $10. Like, it takes you 1 week to get that, like, half that back, like what we just saw.
It's not quite that low, but yes.
Yeah.
Goalies are still the problem.
Well, yeah, but like, even then, like, you can get non-expensive goalies, and you can buy a non-in-season card for a goalie. Surface asks, why do you think users are flocking to cards more with current prize pool and we're not seeing higher prices? I don't know why we're not seeing higher prices and stuff as a whole. But I think a lot of it's just to do with uncertainty and users being constantly burned, I guess I will say.
I think a lot of it is it's end of season.
Yeah, but like, it's still like the prices on stuff just doesn't matter. But like, so I was talking to Bellama, and Bellama, as we all know, like stuff frequently. Bellama is a very big proponent of a lot of things. And I talked to Bellama, and I said, I'm like, the issue with Bellama is Bellama's like, I don't understand the price of this stuff. It should be more expensive. And I'm like, I agree. I'm like, the issue is, if Bellama thinks this and everybody else on the platform thinks the opposite, it doesn't really matter if Bellama is right or not right, because perception of like what is going on is the reality of the situation. So like, I think a lot of people are just super negative still. There's just a lot of negativity out there. People don't trust the team very much for a lot of reasons. Like, there's a lot of reasons why trust has been burned over the last few years. But to me, what I've seen over the last 3 months has been seemingly positive trends, right? Seemingly makes sense to me. And I don't, like, I feel like this is the longest stretch in 2 years where I haven't been like, holy shit, that's bad, right? We're at like 4 months. We're like, the divisions, like I said, I think I don't love divisions, but I'm not certain I don't love divisions. I'm not going to say divisions are good or bad right now, because I don't think that's the case. And even if they're bad or good, like, either way, it's still up in the air to me, which means it wasn't like clearly bad. So like, to me, some of the stuff that's going on right now is like logical. Which, like, when was the last time you thought something was absolutely asinine?
I can't think of the last time.
Yeah, like that's much different than how we were going in the previous like 2 years, right? Like, whereas like every week you're like, holy shit, this is stupid.
Yeah, I do. I agree with this with Scosmo. He said, we're heading in the right direction to start and will take time. As much as the transition kind of sucks, it feels quite appropriate. The Philly Dilly said Continental Knights was asinine.
And so Continental Knights was poorly executed. Yeah, so okay, I'll give Philly Dilly that.
I'll give Surface this, not allowing us to import lineups into So Rare is asinine.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. It's cost me so much of my life weekly doing that shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, so frustrating. Yeah, like, I don't know. I think we're on a good path. I'm a little, but again, that I, like, is that, that also is concerning. Like, if I look at stuff and I'm like, why are these prices so low? If I'm looking at that and then it just constantly get lower, that's also concerning to me. Cause it's like, why are they getting lower? Like, in the past, it's like, all right, this is some dumb shit. I totally understand why you're leaving. Whereas like now it's like, oh, this all kind of seems to be trending a good way. Why is everyone leaving?
The thing that I find kind of funny that I've seen in different discords and everything, cause it does seem like there is a, on the higher level, particularly on the super rare level, there is this thought that the cash prizes are not big enough. And so people are like, because of the prices of in-season cards versus the prizes available, I'm just going to play Classic. Mm-hmm. So that I can win the in-season cards to then sell them to the people who are playing it. So obviously somebody likes the in-seasons enough to buy these in-season cards.
I think,
but it seems like there are people who are passionately on both sides. We're like, oh, I kind of like the in-season. And other people are like, no, just play Classic. Like, no,
Classic is so like Classic, the overall prize pool in Classic is better, but you get a lot more of the access to the prize pool in end season. So like, for example, like I think the prize pool is like 60% Classic, 40% in season, but like the competition is 40% or 4x higher in Classic than it is in end season. So like, even though the prize pool is smaller, you have more access to it in the in season. But like, I think with the, I do think the in season prizing is not high enough to like excite someone, but it's also at a point where like from a cost perspective, it just doesn't, it's still too cheap with what's
right. There's a clearer path at these prices to getting that money back than.
And I know a lot of people that are like, I'm not going to play in season. I'm going to play Classic. And I think that's like really bad, because I think there's I think the most value right now is in season. I actually think they did a good job, in that like Classic is still really good and in season is better, but it's not like, oh my god, that's so much better, Classic is dog shit. It's like, okay, these are both pretty solid, but then prize, then it's like, okay, these in season cards are too low, but then the Classic cards are like half the price of those. It's like it doesn't make sense from a finance. I bought some cards, but I didn't buy tons of cards for 6 months. I would say like fall into before the announcement, I didn't buy cards, and I thought it was like ridiculous people were buying cards. I like Haber would be like, yeah, I think I'm gonna buy this. I'm like, why are you buying a card? That makes no sense. And then Gator guy would be like, I'm gonna buy this card. I'm like, why are you buying this card? They're gonna have an announcement in like weeks probably or months that's going to like change shit. It's like, and because we all like, there was, I feel like their announcement and like the gameplay change, the actual announcement that it was happening was the worst kept secret in SoRare history. What actually changed was decent, because like nobody knew exactly what was going to change, it seemed like. But like everyone knew there was an announcement coming. It was just a matter of like, what will the announcement be? But the last 2 months, I think it's been pretty reasonable times to buy cards. And I think that like even going into the off season, I think it's a pretty decent time to buy cards, or like we're screwed. Like that's the other alternative. Like we're screwed. If we're not screwed, then it's a good time to buy cards right now, I think, because the prices are relatively low based on what they're giving away, and what they're giving away, if that is consistent and or goes up, like the pricing on stuff just doesn't really make sense where it's at currently. It's too low.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So like you have two options right now. Either we're fucked or pricing is too low. I don't really see another option on that line right now. Like in the past, I've thought a lot of different options were possible.
Anzo said multi-entry and in-season rules makes it logical to buy. However, confidence in the product is the issue.
And that goes back to the whole distrust in the team and stuff. And like I said, like I think they have a lot of, they have built up a lot of distrust. And that is unfortunate, but it's the reality we're in right now, where a lot of people have grown negative about them. Like you and I, like I said, we talked about it earlier. Like we've dragged them a lot, but we give them their credit when it's due. But there was a lot of negativity built up for a lot of people, and that still is the case today. Do you think that negativity? What do you think it's going to take for that negativity to get changed, other than just like card prices going up?
Honestly, I think it's just the more you play this new, like, I think people were upset about a change, and it was like a massive change. And the more we get just used to it, the negativity goes down.
Possibly. I mean, I will say I've only heard like one person vehemently upset right now with how this stuff is.
Same.
Most people seem to be,
and
it's somewhat optimistic.
I also think that the people who are super negative are those who may have been affected to a greater scale than most users.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like Skosmo got destroyed by the update. Tony Watt got, well, the Tony Watt still,
who knows? Yeah. Like Quinny should have been furious.
Yeah. Quinny's just always pretty happy though. Right. Like Quinny's like always pretty happy. But yeah, like, I mean, I don't see tons of negativity with the current gameplay. Whether I think a lot of people are very, it's so complex right now, and people are not fully understanding, including myself. I don't fully understand everything to have a full opinion on stuff.
Yeah, I think we just need to keep playing it and figure it out.
I will say from a gallery, I know you don't like to look at it. I do, because I like, I don't get upset like some people do. Like, I like to look at it just to see like where we're going with stuff. But like, my valuation on Sower Data has been pretty stable for like 2 weeks now. Before that, I was like dumping 10% a week for like months. So like, I don't know if we've just got to a point where it's just too low, can't really dump anymore, or where we're at, but...
Philly Dilly said the fear is that you buy someone and then they're 25% lower next, like in a month. That's and which like
fair.
I agree that's fair, but it's also the, it's also ignoring that you've had that card for a month to win stuff with.
No, but I agree with his, I think his point is a little bit more in depth and more fair than that. It's basically like, am I going to buy this card and then that card's going to be worth 20% of what it was like in a month? Because you cannot make up for that with having
just 25% discount, not 25%.
Yeah, but like that, I don't think is
in
the case. Like, people are like worried that, like, I mean, I bought a Ricky Pooj and I was obviously a stack that I bought a Ricky Pooj, and then the second Ricky Pooj auctioned eventually and it went for 30% off of what I paid. And I think a lot of people are concerned about that. I mean, you have a lot of rares that like were going for shitloads at the start of the MLS season. I thought that was terrible.
Well, but again, they had significantly more utility because of that competition. Like, let's not ignore that. Like, the reason those card prices were so high is because you could win more things with them.
God, that Haber buy was so bad.
All right. All right. I'm done on this one, mostly because I have to go. So we didn't talk about gallery efficiency much. But or maybe we just did it and it was within the first 15 minutes. So yeah, that's it. Philly Dilly said the super level, I can buy Declan Rice now for 0.55. I'm willing to bet I can get him at 0.4 at the end of the season. I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
And like at this point, like the in seasonness is like minimal. So it's like that's
right.
That's valid.
But not like, even in season.
Just but like again, like I'm gonna say this again, right? Like, why is Declan Rice, for example, half an ETH right now? Because like that doesn't make sense in the current dynamics of the game financially that he's that cheap from a super perspective, right? Like, it just doesn't add up financially, because if they're giving away as much as they do, and you can play him as a classic card in season, or you play him in classic, half an ETH for him just doesn't really make the most sense right now. So.
We'll just keep playing, Sean. Just keep
Tyler playing. B played his limited Leverkusen lineup in division. I'm in a division four and is sitting second. Wouldn't be top 20 in division one. Sadly, that's the move right now. If you're playing limited, you should be playing as low a level as you can play right now, honestly. Which is an issue, but that's honestly true.
I can't see what the actual cash difference is.
Champion
with a champion
limited division four.
Limited.
Champ division four. I can find it pretty quick. 1 second. Champ division four. He is in second for $65. Division one, he would be outside the top 20 for 15.
Congratulations on your promotion to division three.
Yes. Luckily, you're still in a low enough division. You can.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Just easy. Just easy there. Easy there. Yeah, that's it. All right. Thank you to everybody for joining. If you could please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. And if you have any other feedback on either the prize pools or gallery efficiency, feel free to leave a comment in below the video. Excuse me. Or you can find me on Twitter at Andrew M. Laird. Sean is at PSU Fans too. Always happy to chat. So thank you to everybody, and we'll see you around.